Good evening. Good evening.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, Duan. God bless you, young man.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you, too.
Thank you. How is your week going?
Very swell. Very good, very good, very good, yes.
What'd you do?
Went to East Town Mall on Monday. East Town Mall, yeah.
Oh, and then, did you?
Yeah, and then bunch of other things too. We did at Edmund Munson and stuff.
Nice outside, so they're moving around, huh?
Yeah, moving around. Yeah.
Good, yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
So it sounds like you had a really great week.
I have. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, Sister Hawanda. God bless you.
Greetings, Apostle and family.
Hey, this is Wanda. Hey.
Yeah, bless you.
Bless you too. This is Wanda, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Sister Wanda, how's your week going?
It's going good. I won't complain. Good. Yes, sir. Enjoying the weather and happy to be back at Bible study.
Yes.
For the JRC, they had canceled it last week.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they canceled last week.
Was there a reason?
They said that they had some mental health issues going on or something like that. They didn't elaborate too much, but like a couple of more than one person had some mental health stuff going on. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they got kids in the can. You know,
right.
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm. All that energy that needs to be moving around, sitting in a, you know, is contained. It's like a sardine.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, who's in charge over there now? I'm trying to remember who's in charge there when I was going there. I don't know if it was Dennis McClain or who was it, the head of
I forgot was, his name, but he's a black guy, kind of dark
Reggie?
Skin.
Is he black and dark skin?
Yeah, kind of a dark brown. Not super dark, but barely there. We ended up seeing him every blue moon, so I don't really remember his name.
Is he sort of tall and muscular?
He's tall, but I don't think muscular. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I'm thinking Coach Reggie might still be running that program. I think he took Dennis's place.
Okay.
I'm just wondering who's in charge over there. How do you get along with him?
With the kids?
No, with the leadership there, the guards and everything else.
Oh, really good, really good. They love us, the staff as well as the kids. Yeah.
And who all goes there now? Who's in charge of the group that you're involved with?
It's just me and Collins that ends up going doing the Bible study now. Pastor Jose has been out of town a whole lot.
He's in Mexico.
Yeah, he hasn't been with us for a nice amount of time now. So he's yeah, so myself and Brother Collins, the African guy.
Oh, not Dwayne Collins.
No,
I'm
no, no.
About someone else.
Okay. The African.
I don't think I know him. At least I don't think I've met him yet.
You might. I believe he knows who you are. He asked about you yesterday. He did.
Oh, really? And he's African?
I'm not sure if he showed up with some stuff with Burnell. I know he was at the last picnic at Elba Park. I ended up seeing him briefly out there for the last picnic that was at Elba Park that we had.
How about that? So you all are pretty much in charge now, because I don't know if Jose is coming back. I think Jose made a decision he wanted to move to Mexico. That's the last I heard.
Oh, okay.
So then, how does that work if he decides that he's gone? Does that leave you all there as the leadership? Are you able to then to make decisions on how that program goes, or is it, or do you just kind of keep doing what you've been doing?
I think mostly it still has to go through like the head person, not like through somebody like Pastor Jose, some the black guy. I'll find out what his name is, so I'm not just the main person that's over it. Yeah, so I'll get his name. So I do think things have to go through him still, but like as far as maybe inviting somebody else to come along with us, we might be able to do that and stuff like that, you know, somebody that's, yeah, but yeah, other than that, just still, we can do movies with them. We do Bible study, you know, praise and worship testimonies, you know what, you know, still spirit led to do, you know, that's connected to, you know, edification. You know, to the body.
Yeah, and so how then, what typically happens after service? Do kids get saved? Do they
Absolutely. Salvation
okay?
every day at the end. Yep. So many children
And
have accepted salvation through us being there. Yep.
And do they and is there a follow-up and a backup plan? Because, for at their age, when they accept salvation, they don't have any foundation, so they don't know necessarily what it means.
At first,
And let's go ahead, Wanda.
I was gonna say at first, we were able to give them our numbers and stuff for follow-up, but then they told us to, and then they changed it and said, no, don't do that anymore. But we actually get into that with the teachings, you know what I'm saying? So we don't just leave them hanging like after they station. That's actually, you know, the word goes gets into it too, like what it is to, you know, be set apart and everything else, and decision making and relying not on they self and you know being in a place to where they allow to be led by Holy Spirit, you know, because that ain't that we do on our own, you know, it's with the help of. Yeah, so we really
Yeah, of course.
we get into it with them and you know in depth, and then also you know through the words of our testimony and you know saying hey what we used to do and how it's different from us as well, having accepted the Most High as our personal savior too. So we don't just like have them to accept salvation. It lines up with the message and then what we teach and letting them know it's a lifestyle, you know, so.
Good, beautiful. Because I believe that those were some of the mistakes they were making in the past. The kid gets saved, there's no follow-up, there's no, okay, let's put together some type of an email ministry so we can follow the kid if they leave there and go on to something else. We at least can send them an email and things like that. And they weren't doing that. And so I saw a lot of kids, make the acceptance, but there was not enough follow-up to be able to give them the foundation they need to know how to deal with the problems they were under.
Yes.
So I'm glad you all do that. I praise God for that. That's awesome. Very, very
Yes,
good.
as much as possible, because like you said, it do need to be like some follow-up for discipleship, which is, you don't just have people give, them to accept salvation and without them getting to see what that is, what that lifestyle looks like,
Yep. Beautiful. So we're going to be in the book of Galatians tonight, the second chapter. I'm going to give it about another minute. Looks like we might be a little light tonight. Normally the thing is dinging off the hook, right?
It is.
Yeah, so weather might be affecting some people because they can get around and do stuff. And so now they're going, oh, I got stuff I should be doing. So Galatians, the second chapter. We'll have our opening prayer in exactly 1 minute. Sister Wanda, I'd like for you to do that. But let's give it
Yes.
just a few more seconds and see what happens. And then we'll go ahead and go forward. Because that's the one thing to me that is most important about a relationship with God. He ain't relying on you to wait on nobody else to get a relationship with him intact. You keep going no matter what the circumstance looks like.
Absolutely.
Always move forward.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes,
Yes, it
sir.
is now 5:40. Sister Hawanda, go ahead and begin prayer, please.
Hallelujah. Ooh, glory, glory, glory.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. We say thank you. Hallelujah. We say thank you, Abba, for the faithful few to show up to give you glory, knowing that Bible study is always in order. Learning your word
Yes.
is always order. Coming together, hallelujah, to rightly divide the word of truth is always in order. So I thank you for the ones that are here. I even thank you for the ones that are on their way. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. And for the ones that can't make it, I pray right now that you send ministering angels, hallelujah, that they don't feel left out, hallelujah, that they are doing something that's connected to your will, that we don't
Yes.
allow the weather to detour us from being consistent, hallelujah, in what you would have us to do to build our lives so that we can be ready, hallelujah, in season and out of season,
Well.
hallelujah. To always be diligent, hallelujah, about your word and building your kingdom, knowing that if we build ourselves up, that we will be if we build ourselves up in you, hallelujah, that we will be have enough to share with others. So we just thank you for what's about to take
Yes,
place,
yes,
knowing
yes.
that there's nobody missing, hallelujah. I thank you that there's really nobody missing, that everybody's supposed to be
Yes.
here, and we magnify and glorify. But who's here, hallelujah, whose
Yes,
mind
yes,
and
Lord.
heart is stayed on you, hallelujah, for what and coming to show up for what we need from you. I know that you say what two or more are gathered in your name, you are also in the midst. So I
Yes.
thank you, hallelujah, that you're gonna come and see about us, hallelujah,
Yes.
regardless. Hallelujah. We thank you that your presence is already being made known,
Yes, God.
hallelujah. And I decree and declare that we won't leave this Bible study, this life lesson, the way that we came in, that you will deposit and enhance and give us more of you, hallelujah. All of you and less, hallelujah. All of you and none of us, hallelujah. So I pray right now that you prune us, hallelujah. That you continue to take away those things in us, hallelujah, that we don't know how to remove on our own, hallelujah. And make
Yes,
it
God.
to you. That we just, whoo, we need your help, that we can't do it by ourselves. So I thank
No, we
you for being
cannot.
a very present help in a time of what and whatever time it is. It may not be a time of trouble, but it's a time, hallelujah, to confess that we need you in every area of our lives. So we just ask
Yes,
that you be
God.
in the midst like never before. I pray right now that the word come forth with fire, hallelujah, that it go out to accomplish the mighty name of hallelujah. So we thank you and we praise you for what's about to take place. Hallelujah. I thank you that the anointing flows from the head down. So I thank you for the apostle and the first family. Hallelujah. For what you are doing in them and through them. Hallelujah. That your word is penetrating. Hallelujah. That is changing and transforming. That is renewing and that is strengthening. Hallelujah. I thank you for the boldness that's taking place. Hallelujah. I thank you. Ooh, glory for the boldness that's taking place. Hallelujah. To set the captives free that the house may be set in order. Hallelujah. And for that, I give you all the glory, honor, and praise. These things and we ask and praise you for in Yahshua's mighty name.
Amen and amen. I'm going to give God a hand clap for you. Because God is a good God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Terry, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Sister Walker.
Thank you. Amen.
God bless you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Greetings, family.
Hello, everybody.
Sister Terry, let's start with you. How's your week going?
It was great. I go to the methadone center when I was addicted to pills a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I go to the methadone center, and I started smoking marijuana the same too. So, but right now I've been clean.
Hallelujah.
I've been clean. I haven't had marijuana in my body since November.
Glory.
And then I was on clonazepam for anxiety. I had been on that medicine for 25 years. I don't have none in my body. I've been clean of that too. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes. 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 It's been good to me.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, thank you, Father. What an awesome God we serve.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a wonderful testimony of the goodness of God.
Thank you.
It's interesting that you talked about anxiety, because that's why the peace of God is so important, and that's why Bible study is so important, because it's the Bible says faith cometh by hearing by the word of God, and the more word of God you hear, the more peace it begins to instill inside of us. And all of a sudden, anxiety is gone. Do the problems go away? No. But something happens inside of you where you start realizing, you know, every dropped cookie ain't going to turn into a whole bunch of crumbs. I can sit back and just wait for some things, because God has got a way of cleaning up the mess around it. And so I'm so glad to hear you say that. I praise God for that, Tara. And we thank God for your diligence to go toward the kingdom. We praise God for that. Sister Thanks. Walker?
Yes.
How's your week going?
Oh, going real, real
week.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. Thank you, everybody, for the prayers. I did get the job over at Mercy Hospital, and
Amen.
It is the most money I ever made, and I can praise God for it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. Hallelujah. Glory.
So we got a new job,
yep.
And we got a new Tara. Glory to God.
Oh, and like she said that.
God is good all the time.
Latif said that he will not be attending tonight because he is doing stuff with his family, but he just wanted to let everybody know that he loves everybody.
Yeah, sometimes the family is the Bible study. You're doing good when you stop running from the family, start running to them. You guys, doing something.
It's a good feeling.
Hallelujah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It used to be you don't want to even open the door. Oh, here come the kids. Oh, man. Oh, God. Now, I can't wait for them to come in here. I'm on fire. Come right on in. Sit right there. Sit close to me. Praise the Lord. Sit right here. What's wrong with mama? Ain't nothing wrong with mama. Mama is all right now. So we're going to be in the book of Galatians, sisters and brothers, in chapter 2. Anybody want to review what we read in chapter 1 of Galatians? There was some good stuff in there. Anybody remember some of the things we read?
Talking about the law. I remember you was talking about the law. You were saying it was the contract. Because I was talking about tithing. Because another thing, I'm ready to start paying my tithing, too. I'm ready to start paying my tithing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you talked about how...
Go ahead.
You talked about how being led by God, being totally led by God, not making any move, not doing anything else, but being totally led by God.
Yeah, and not always thinking you have to have somebody to give you credence and credibility to go and do the work that God calls you to. If you remember, we talked about Paul, who said after he got saved, he went out and started churches. And for 3 years, he was out there doing it. And then realized, oh, maybe I should go and talk to Peter and the other apostles and find out if I'm doing this right. And right. So he goes to Peter after 3 years. But out of revelation, which God will give to all, because God is no respecter of persons. We're going to see more of that tonight. God is no respecter of persons. So out of revelation, God taught Paul what he needed to know in order to do the work that he was sent to accomplish. And that's important for believers, because sometimes we look at ourselves and keep asking the wrong question. Am I qualified for something? Mm-hmm. When in all reality, salvation qualifies you for everything.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let me try that part again.
Hallelujah.
Salvation qualifies me for everything. Why? Because I just moved from being out of the family into the family. The minute I moved into the family of God, I have all of the substance that the family of God gets. So I cannot know a lot about the Bible, but when God wants to use me to talk to somebody that wants to be saved, you'll find yourself saying some things and you're going, I don't even know where that came from.
Come on, hallelujah. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that, but I experienced it very early in my walk. And I was saying some things, and all of a sudden I was going, I don't know how I know that. Oh, but then I found out there's something that happens when you start serving God, that God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you stop thinking about who you are, and you start worrying about who your God is to people. And you can share a whole lot and change people's lives. So don't ever be afraid to talk to people about your God.
Yeah.
Don't ever be afraid to tell them your testimony. Don't ever be ashamed of your history, because your history is your schoolmaster. That's how you learned enough to get to God. If it weren't for your trouble, you'd be all right. If it hadn't been for the trials, you wouldn't have sought anything. But it's all those things culminated together that brings you to a point to say, I need something bigger than me in my life.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And so Paul was talking about those things. Anything else that we remember about that? And she said, hey, I would have did the work. I asked some people later whether I did it right. Right? Anything else? Anything else anybody remembers?
Contract.
Remember the part we talked about? Are there still apostles?
Here's my notes.
Yes.
Because we were talking about historically how many, many denominations believe the only apostles were the 12 that walked with Jesus. And if you didn't walk with Jesus, you can't be an apostle. But Paul makes sure that we understand, I became an apostle after Jesus was resurrected and gone back to heaven. This happened later.
That's what he's talking about. Yeah. He said that he was appointed by God, not by man, too. So that was what first began. Galatians.
An apostle not made by man.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. All right. So let me go here before we read. I want you all to catch this. Go back to the book of Acts. I'll be back just a couple of books just before moments.
Okay.
And go to the first chapter just for a quick second. And we'll go back to Corinthians. Will you have it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, watch this. Let's look at this real good. This is Mark writing this book. I believe Mark is the writer. He says this. He says the former, verse 1, the former treaties have I made? In other words, the former beliefs have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to spoke, to do and to teach. Watch what he says in verse 2. And I did this that my old belief was there, which is all the things, right? Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait there for the promise of the Father, which said he, you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In other words, the Holy Ghost was coming for them, right?
Okay.
Everybody get that? All right.
Yeah.
So watch this. The book of Acts, what is it the Acts of? Why is it called the book of Acts? Anybody want to take a guess at that? Ooh, nobody? The book of Acts. No? Okay. So let me just kind of praise God, read this. It says, they titled it the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts. The actions. That's what Acts is, the short word. The actions. Got that?
Everybody got it? Yes.
Okay, so it's the actions of the apostles filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody get that?
Yeah.
All right, so let me tell you why this is important, right? It's important because the book of Acts is the acts of people who have the Holy Ghost. It is the only unfinished book in the Bible. It is an incomplete book. Why? Because as long as the Holy Ghost is here, the book of Acts is still being written in the book of Revelations.
Hallelujah.
Remember how we read in chapter 20, and the books were written?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody remember that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So you are a living, this is why he calls you a living epistle. You are writing your own book for God based on the actions you take in the Holy Ghost. That's why he's important in our life. So long as the Holy Ghost is it, when Jesus comes back, there's no need for the Holy Ghost. He ends it all. Then everything is finally closed off. And whatever your testimony is at the time he comes back, that's it. Or the other case is you happen to pass before he gets back, and that becomes the day of judgment. Because there's nothing else you can do in order to attain any more wisdom, knowledge, or insight, because we're now expended as a human being. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So you are a living epistle. You have to know that. And that'll help you to take all the right actions, because you'll know that some angel somewhere is writing about you as you go. Your testimony is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written, that sister put away this, the Holy Ghost delivered her from that. It's written.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I see. Let's go read. Now let's go back to the book of Galatians, the second chapter. I just want us to know this, because you need to make sure you have the equipment to not be fooled by folk who may mean well when they teach the Bible. But they may not have what Paul had, and we'll see that in chapter 2. I want you to catch it. Ready? Chapter 2, verse 1. Sister Angela, you want to read? Sister Angela?
Hold on. I'm getting it up. Hold on.
And so somebody's got a television going in the background. Please turn it down.
Galatians
chapter 2. Yeah.
All right. So it says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism, they added, nothing to my message. On the contrary, recognize that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to be uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed to go to the Gentiles, and they would, and they to the circumcised, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been do all along.
Mm-hmm.
You go?
Yeah, let's start there. Somebody tell me what you just read. To the best of your ability, what just happened? Anybody want to take a sort of a stab at it?
I know that God doesn't show favoritism, and what I'm getting from this is they want to stay the course to just preach what they're going to preach, whether you're circumcised or you're not circumcised, if you're Greek or you're not. They're going to preach Jesus no matter what.
Yeah. Amen. Anybody else? Sister Tara? It's okay. Just whatever you think you heard, right? And remember, sometimes when you come to Bible study, you want to rise to the Spirit of Christ that lives in you, because the Holy Ghost is there to teach us. He is willing to help you to see what the natural eye does not see, because the Holy Ghost is Spirit. Jesus' words are Spirit. That's why he said, the words I speak, they're Spirit, and they are truth, right? And so rising in the Spirit of Christ to say, speak into my spirit, you'll hear some things that your natural ear won't catch, but it'll set on fire emotion that all of a sudden you'll see an image in your head and go, oh! And that's what revelation is. Got it?
Okay.
So I'm going to read it again. Thank you, Sister Angela. I'm going to read it now. I want you to just rise to the Spirit of Christ in you. Say that for a second.
I rise to the Spirit of Christ in me.
I arise.
Say it one more time.
Say, I arise.
I rise.
To the Spirit of Christ.
To the Spirit of Christ.
It dwells in me.
It dwells in me.
Now stay that right there. Keep that thought. And now listen. Then 14 years after I went up again to the city of Jerusalem with Barnabas, I took Titus with me also. And I went up not by someone calling me, but because revelation hit me. And I communicated unto them the gospel, which I preach amongst the Gentiles. Remember what he said in chapter 1. I hadn't met anybody. I went 3 years later, stayed with Peter about 15 days. After the 15 days, then I went to see, then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I stayed with him 15 days. But other than apostles, I haven't even seen, except for this one apostle, James, who was the Lord's brother. That's in verse 18 and 19 of chapter 1, right? Said, and other things I'm writing unto you, behold, before God, I'm not lying. After which I came into the region of Syria, Cilicia, and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea. But they also knew I was the man that had persecuted them, right? And that I had been that person, and now I'm over here preaching that same gospel that I was trying to persecute them for. And then he goes on to say, and then 14 years after that, it's the continuation of the story. Then 14 years after that, I went again to Jerusalem, verse 1, with Barnabas. Anybody know who Barnabas is?
Barnabas is
one
of the he walked with Apostle Paul.
Now, Barnabas was a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Barnabas was a bad boy. Barnabas was on fire. Go back to the book of Acts. Go to the 13th chapter. I want you to see this. And I want you to remember it. So rise to the Spirit of Christ, because this will all connect when the Holy Ghost allows it to connect in you. It's going to connect, and it's going to make so much sense. You're going to be like, wow, how was I missing that? Watch that. Verse chapter 13, book of Acts. Everybody got it?
Yes.
All right, watch this. Now there were in the church, verse 1, that was in Antioch, some prophets and some teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon, that were called, what's that word?
Niger?
Somebody help me. What's, Nigers?
Niger.
Right?
You said yes, Niger?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there was Lucius and Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, smart men, very educated men. They were brought up with kings. They were brought up with leadership. But what does the word Niger mean? Because he describes them as something. He doesn't just say they're men and they were Greeks or they were Jews. He said they were Nigers. Nigers.
That's what I was trying to say, like the one that they switched from nigger. So don't it mean king?
It means black.
Okay.
Oh, black
men.
Mm. Oh.
It's like in Spanish, negro means black.
Brown. It means brown. Mm. Negro means
negro?
Brown. Negro. N-E-G-R-O. Means brown. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is not negro.
No.
This is not... Which means they were probably close to Nigerian, Kenyan,
okay,
or from that area.
Okay,
and so now let me go back, because this is important. So even when you go back to the book of Genesis, in fact, I think maybe we better go there so everybody gets this part. Go to Genesis. I'm sorry, go to Exodus. And go to chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. You have to say amen.
Well, you said we're going to Acts?
Exodus.
Exodus.
Mm-hmm. Second book of the Bible. First Genesis, then Exodus. And for those of us who are not familiar with that word, Exodus, that word means to migrate.
Migration.
So they were coming out of Egypt. It was a migration, the exit, mm-hmm. where you get the word exit from. Exodus, to exit. Mm-hmm. Got it? Hey, Sister yes. Deborah, God bless you.
God bless you. How are you, Apostle?
Good to hear your voice. We're in Exodus, the third chapter.
Exodus, the third chapter. I got to get okay.
What'd you say, Anna?
I'm sorry.
And okay. when we're talking about something, I just want to make sure everybody gets this.
Okay.
And I'm praying that you all will remember what you're getting. Please remember. It'll change your insight and your outlook on yourself. It'll help you to defeat all the lies that have been spoken over your life through history. Because we've been lied to. We have been programmed to see ourselves a certain way. We are almost even, if I may, we're programmed to feel like a third wheel, even in the kingdom. Somebody heard me. We're programmed in this system. We've been programmed to feel like a third wheel almost every place you go. You can be a doctor, and you could be a doctor at Merida Hospital. And if you don't know your truth, you'll still feel like a black doctor rather than a good doctor.
Sure.
If you don't know your own truth, you could be sitting as a professor at the University of Wisconsin, and you'll still you'll see yourself as the black professor amongst the white professors.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the halls of education, whether it's for your children, you'll walk through the door and feel like, and somebody's gonna get this in a minute. You'll walk through the door and feel like the black parent rather than the righteous parent. Because the 400 years of programming that's been placed in our thought process makes us see ourselves from a position of only 400 years old, and you are millions of years old, as long as man has been on the planet.
Yes, Lord.
Niger black has been on the planet. Not nigger black. Niger black has been on this planet. And I wouldn't be surprised if one day some archaeologists will find out that the Garden of Eden is in Africa.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back. So here we are. Exodus, the third chapter. If you get this, it'll change your perspective on who you are, on what's been done, and how we have been fooled into not taking our rightful place as the people of God in the world around us. Here we go, chapter 3, verse 1. Watch this. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, who was the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Everybody see that?
Yes.
All right. Jethro was a black man. Where Jethro lived was where the mountain of God was, Mount Horeb, that Moses goes up in order to meet and talk to God. Moses marries Jethro's daughter. Her name is Zipporah. He marries Jethro's daughter. Moses' sister Miriam is a light-skinned Jew. Jethro is a dark-skinned Jew. That's why he's a priest. Jethro is so dark, black, because Jethro is from Kenya. He's a Kenite. You'll find that later in the scripture. Jethro is the Kenite. His Hebrew name is not Jethro, it's Ruel. Right? Let me show you where that is. Let's go to, where is it? Hold on for a minute and I'll get back to my point in a second. Hey. Ruel. I'll find it for you in a second, but I want you to get this. So that means that Moses' children are black. Moses' children, Gershom and the other couple of children he had, they're the leaders because Moses is like a king. They become the leaders of the Hebrew Israelite tribes. They become the men and the women that God uses to extend in his principles, his precepts, his moral value. And then Aaron, who is Moses' brother, ultimately becomes the first high priest, the leader of all the priests. Everybody with me? You know this, right? You know your Bible.
Yeah, sure.
So now pay attention. Let me read it again. Now Moses, who kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, who was the priest of Midian, he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. He came to the mountain of God, which is over in Jethro's territory. Because Moses is out of Egypt, he had to escape. Remember, he killed an Egyptian for his Hebrew Israelite brothers. And so he ran and left, and he was in exile. And as he left, he goes to another country, another territory just north of Egypt. How many of you know that Egypt is in Africa?
Yes.
Egypt is in Africa.
Okay.
It is the bridge between Asia and Africa, because there's only one small piece of land, if you look on the map, that you can cross from Egypt on dry land and get over to Asia, to Jerusalem and those places. It's all in that, this one little space of land. And then behind that space of land, going all the way across, is called the Red Sea.
Yeah.
So when God brought the Hebrew Israelites out of Egypt, he didn't tell them to take the land across. He told them to go straight across the Red Sea, and he parted it so he could show that there was a connection between the Hebrew Israelites and the black folks. Anybody listening?
Yes.
Sister Donna, God bless you. Thanks for being here. Are we listening?
Yeah.
Now let's go back to Acts, the 13th chapter.
Bless you,
Pat. I want you to get this. Acts, the 13th chapter, please, and then we'll go back to 2 Galatians. Or Galatians 2. About Acts, the 13th chapter. They don't teach this, but you read the Bible study.
The 13th chapter. That's the New Testament.
Yep. Acts, 13th chapter. And if you've got a cell phone or a computer, I want you to look up the word, what is a Niger in the Bible? What was he talking about, Niger? You'll see they'll say, well, there's the river Niger, there's this, but also Niger means black people.
It means what?
Black people.
Okay.
And somebody's phone is making a whole lot of noise. Can all of us mute the phone?
Yeah, I don't know whose phone that is.
Yeah.
Can we go,
and you can
hear
the dog.
Just go on mute until it's time to speak, please. Thank you. Now I'm going to go back to Acts the 13th chapter, because this is going to be very important for you. It was important to me. Maybe it's not so important to you. But it was important to me because until I put those pieces together, I stayed a Negro instead of a Niger. I stayed what they made.
Right.
The majority of my life, I got saved, I got delivered, I started studying, I wanted to know the truth about the Word of God, and I studied it more so because I needed to know if it was true. I knew God was real, but the people that wrote this book, is this real? I knew God was real because nobody else could deliver me like he did. I knew that was real.
It does mean complexion, dark complexion, black or brown or dark complected. That's what it means.
That's where we come from. Hey,
oh, okay.
Somebody got that?
You want me to read
it? Did you look it up?
I got that. That's it. That's where we come from. We black folk. We from that.
Now let me keep reading. I want you to hear it again. Now there were in the church. So if they were in the church.
Mm-hmm.
They were part of the Hebrew Israelite people.
Yeah.
They were in the church. Let me give you another one. This will help you even more. Go to, hold on. I think it's going to be in the book of Acts 2, because God wanted to make sure you knew this.
Mm-hmm. The spiritual Israelites.
Now, the Hebrew Israelites that are out there today are not the Hebrew Israelites that this is talking about. They've taken Hebrew Israelites to a whole new something.
Okay.
So don't get confused by that because they don't get what they're doing because they're living in the Old Testament and don't even know that they're doing it. We'll get on that another day, though. Let me go find. I want you to see it. This will be your proof, your verification. I believe it's going to be in the book of Acts, and it's going to be about the 9th chapter, I believe. Give me 1 second, I'm looking it up for you. Give me 1 more second. Philip meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Well, why am I doing this? Why does it matter? Because if you go look, it's Acts the 8th chapter. Go there now. Just like a couple of chapters. Why am I doing that? Why am I teaching you this? Because when you look at everything that they put out in the marketing of the Bible, in the marketing of it, if you go to the Sistine Chapel in Italy, you're going to see this beautiful mosaic. And God is a chubby, fat Caucasian guy. You're going to see cherubims and seraphims flying around him on this big fresco. And they're going to be Caucasian little angels with white wings. Until probably 1990, even when you went into an African-American church, there was typically a picture of Jesus on the wall with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody. I know somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Amen, amen.
You might even find that today. Mm-hmm. Picture of blonde hair, blue eyes. Why? Because you have been brainwashed.
Wow.
Into believing something that ain't never been biblical.
Jesus wouldn't
want to. I'd be okay if he was, but everything around him couldn't have been.
Amen. Was he a Jew?
He was. Yes, he was a Jew.
He was a Jew.
He was a Jew by his heritage.
Right.
Meaning he came out of the lineage of Abraham.
Exactly.
So he's a Jew. However, if you know what history has done, you will also begin to recognize that even in Israel, they set out a big thing going, we need to go find the lost tribes of Israel, because Israel is only one tribe.
Okay.
Israel is only one tribe, and supposedly it's the one tribe that came out of Jerusalem that had never been conquered by anybody else. But all of the other tribes, you know how the Bible talks about the Samaritans?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the Samaritans were the other there were 12 tribes that came out of Jacob, his children, his 12 children. Those kids were scattered all over the place, many of them in Africa, and almost all of those tribes got conquered by some king someplace that started having them to worship things other than God. And so Jesus told his disciples, yeah, you go to Jerusalem, but don't go by way of Samaria, because those people have been tainted. But they were black folk. They were people of different nationalities, but they all came out of the original tribes of the 12 children.
Yeah.
Anybody listening?
Yeah.
Okay, so watch this. So do we belong? Are we the Gentiles or are we the Jews? Am I a Gentile or a Jew? Well, if you're saved, you're automatically a Jew. You're the new Jew. We talked about in church. You're the new Jew. But even before you got saved, your lineage was probably Jewish, whether you know it or not.
Wow.
Okay, watch this. Ethiopia is what color?
Black.
Ethiopia black.
The black people?
They're brown. They're brown.
Brown people like us, right?
Yeah.
You're brown, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to 8th chapter. Listen to this. And you'll see why Barnabas was so important to Saul or Paul in a minute. You'll get it. Right? He said, I'm hanging out with Barnabas. That brother is powerful. Here we go. Acts the 8th chapter. Let's go to about the 26th verse. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is the desert. See that? And notice that he said the angel of the Lord spoke, which means he was moving by revelation. That's what Paul was talking about in the second chapter of Galatians. I didn't go by way of some invitation. I went by way of a revelation. Watch what happens. Verse 27, and he got up and he went. And he ran into a man who was an Ethiopian.
Mm-hmm.
He was a eunuch. Yep. Everybody knows what a eunuch is?
Yeah.
Okay. So a eunuch. Mm-hmm. So a eunuch is someone that they take specifically and they cut out his genitals, and they go big and strong, but they take the genitals because they assign him to take care of the king's harem. His assignment, a eunuch's assignment, is to work directly for the king and be the guard over his women, his concubine, his queen. And because his genitals are gone, you don't have to worry about him slipping and tipping, and the queen ended up falling in love with the eunuch. Everybody got it? Yeah. Yeah, you didn't know this Bible had all this in it, did you?
No, it has all this.
It's real life going on in here. So watch what he says. He arose and he went, and behold, he met a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch, who had what? Great authority.
Good authority.
He wasn't a fly by night. Uh-uh. He wasn't a homeboy on the corner. He was a great authority under Candace, which is the Ethiopian word for a queen. So he was the queen's personal guard who was sent with money to go make an offering at the church in Jerusalem, which meant he was a Hebrew Israelite. He was going there to worship. Watch what it says. Everybody listening?
Yeah.
All right. So he, listen to this hit. Let me read again. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her money and had come to Jerusalem to do what?
Worship.
Or to worship. Worship. You ain't going to worship a God that ain't yours.
Amen.
Anybody listening?
Yes.
And he was returning and sitting in his chariot reading what?
Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah. Yeah, okay, Isaiah is sort of kind of a nickname for Isaiah.
Isaiah.
So he's reading the Old Testament because the New Testament's not written yet.
Okay.
He's reading the only Bible they have. Because the new is not yet formed. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, Holy Spirit, said unto Philip, Philip, go near and join yourself to this man's chariot. And Philip ran there and ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except somebody come and explain it to me? That's why the scripture says, how can they hear unless they have a preacher? How can he preach unless he be sent?
Amen. That's the word.
Right? And so watch what he does. He says, no, explain it to me. And he said, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb that was dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That is Jesus going to and before Pilate. This is the prophetic word of Isaiah, letting them know that the Messiah was coming. He said, it's the place of the scripture, which you read this. So let's go to 33. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom is this scripture talking about? Who's the prophet speaking of? He's talking about himself? Or is he talking about some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Watch this. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized into this man's name? Because I'm an Old Testament man, and I want to be a New Testament preacher. What prevents me from receiving Jesus? And Philip says, if you just believe with all your heart, you can. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You just shared some things, because he told them the whole story about what happened to Jesus. And he says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He didn't go to Jerusalem. The Ethiopian eunuch probably went back home because he was saved. Ain't nothing in that old church but old-time religion. So he goes on. There is now a church that started right around 65 AD in Ethiopia that has 43 million members. They're called the Tawahedo Church. They have the oldest Bible of all the Bibles that's out there, called the Ethiopian Bible. Are we listening?
Yes.
Yes, sir. They have the oldest Bible of all the Bibles you see that are not the original parchment. They have it. And it has 88 books and not 66. It's got books that this Bible doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that important? Because if you understand that you've always been a part of God's plan as a people, then you stop struggling to be something that you know God already made you to be. You stop struggling. You start breaking the programming of what they said you are and start accepting the revelation
who you
of what
are
God declares you are.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You were teaching people that were just learning about God, Barnabas and Silas and these guys. They were there teaching, even though the disciples were walking in great revelation. They'd walk with Christ, because Barnabas didn't walk with Christ. But Barnabas had revelation that was being fulfilled by God in him, that he was so powerful that even as these men were going to do what they were doing, they were seeking out people like Barnabas to say, brother, how should we do this now? And Barnabas becomes a counselor to the counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Because counselor, well, why is that important for me, Pastor Monroe? Why should I worry about that? Because if you pay attention to who you are, you'll find out that many, because this happens to me and my wife all the time, many of the doctors and lawyers that are Christian and have been walking in conservative Christianity, when they talk to somebody like you, it helps them to start seeing the truth of all the lies that they've been told.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come to you for prayer before they'll go to their church.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't listening.
Come on, sir.
When they get to know who you are,
and
they see your deep, reverential love for God that they don't have, because they love, see, their relationship with God is more intellectual than the Gentile. It's intellectual relationship, and that's why they have to be spoken to a certain way. That's why the messages have to be constructed a certain way. But when you have a spiritual revelation from God, your message is 10 times more powerful than any message any of their preachers have given them. And they sit back and they go, wow, there's a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Look that up for me, somebody. Dietrich, D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H, Bonhoeffer. Let me tell you his story. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of the men that was instrumental in helping to defeat Hitler. And he was a German. But he was a German believer, Caucasian, walking in revelation rather than religion. And what he would do is Dietrich would come to America. And when he would come to America, he would go visit all the churches, Billy Graham and all that stuff, all the popular churches. And he would go and visit them. And he stopped doing that when he came to America. He would only go to a black church. And he wrote this in his memoirs. He said, I've been to many churches. He said, and when I go to the church where white people are, the messages are stimulating and intellectual. But when I go to the church where black people are, the messages are just as intellectual, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so if I'm going to ever go to church in America again, I'm going to America to go be with the black brothers who have a deeper relationship with God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Look him up. And he was instrumental. He was hanging out with presidents and saying, this is how you have to defeat Hitler. This is how we think over there, and so forth and so on. But he was a spiritual man who loved the Lord and loved the truth of the Bible. And when he got there and got around some of these churches, they weren't doing anything but just giving people a lot of words. Dietrich walked into a black church and said, oh my God, the Holy Ghost was high. The spirit was so high, I walked out on fire. I'm never going
Hallelujah.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
He walked out different from the way he walked in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anybody getting this?
Praise,
so it's important.
God. Yes.
Because when you accept the fact that you were created, if you ever heard somebody say, oh, I was created to praise God, well, not everybody was, but I guarantee you, you were.
Amen.
That's why we praise him differently. Mm-hmm. You go into one of our churches, mm-hmm. people are falling out on the floor and Holy Ghost over filled up and just mm-hmm. dropping anointing all over the place. You go into mm-hmm. another church and you see them tapping their foot once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
The word is going out and you don't see anybody responding or reacting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it don't work that way up in some of our churches.
Amen.
Because there's a deep, long root in your culture with God.
Amen.
There's a deep root in your culture with God.
Yes.
And when you know that,
yes, I believe
you stop being so afraid. Now let me go back. Now you go into the hospital and you the doctor and you start realizing you there to teach them.
Okay.
Now you're going to the school and you realize I'm here to straighten out some spiritual mess these folks think when it comes down to our children. Mm-hmm. I now know who I am.
Hallelujah.
I now know who I am.
That's why you gotta have a no in your no. That you know that you know. Your God.
Amen.
That's it. That's
Amen.
Why you can do all
come
things.
On now.
Greater is he within you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going home, but you gonna be here. You gonna do what I do. Because I said you can do it. And I did it because my father told me I could do it. So
Amen.
That's why I say I'm a junior Jesus in the earth, Pastor. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to well, let me ask a question before we go back to Galatians 2. Let me ask you about a question. Did she write to say that?
Say what now?
I was asking everybody, is Sister Donna right for saying I'm a junior Jesus in the earth?
Yes. Yes.
I'm
a Jesus in the earth. Okay.
So yes. How do you know she's right? Where's your scriptural reference? How do you know?
Acts.
The Bible says I can do all things.
Through
Christ. That strengthens
yeah.
me.
Amen.
He gave me the power in the book of Acts where he said, behold, I give unto you power.
Yes.
Not somebody.
All right, now.
I give it to you to tread over serpents and scorpions and devils and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. No weapon formed against you. Use the word. You got to use the word. The word
yes, you do.
It's powerful. And it's sharp. Any two-edged
sword, right?
Yes.
Glory to God. All right. Go to 1 John 4:17.
I was in Walmart, and the lady, a Spanish lady, and I was behind her, and her daughter laid hands on her neck. I'll just say this and keep going. And I'm just looking, you know, and the Spirit of God said, well, you got the power. You lay hands on her neck. I'm like, okay. I'm in the stove. I laid hands on the lady's neck. She looked around at me. Her daughter looked at me. I ain't care. I say, in the name of Jesus, I laid hands on her and said, be healed. And yeah, when I took
my
hand off of her, she said, thank you so much. Thank you so
much. Yes.
Thank me.
Hallelujah.
Thank Jesus.
Thank Jesus.
The one that healed the woman, the healer.
Yes,
that's where you gotta know. You gotta have a knowing you know that you know.
Yes, that you know.
Jesus,
amen.
The Holy Ghost and God.
Amen.
Ooh, that's how crazy I am. I'm sorry, Doctor.
No. I wasn't disagreeing. I was asking, where is your scriptural reference? And you're right about all those. Let me give you one more, though. This one is the most important. Go to 1 John, not St. John, 1 John 4:17, please.
Mm-hmm. That.
1 John.
Oh, God, this really sums up the whole Bible study. We can go home after this, believe it or not.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to go home after this. 1 John, 1 John. 4:17.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth chapter, 17th verse, please.
Okay.
Wait on me.
Want me to read it?
Give it a second. Let everyone get there. We have a say, amen.
Amen.
We should read 16 and 17. And Sister Wanda, yes, I heard you. Please read it. And take your time. I want everybody to hear it.
Who's reading?
I think it was Sister Wanda said, asked me that I wanted to read.
Okay.
Okay.
16 and 17, fourth chapter, verses 16 and 17.
Wanda.
You should write this down, please. Write it. Write the vision so it might come to pass, so it may tarry.
Amen.
Are we at 1 John 4th chapter, verse 16 and 17?
Yes, ma'am. Read it slow.
And we have known and believed the love of Yah have to us. Yah is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in Yah, and Yah in him. Herein it is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world.
Period.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So she's not just talking. That's revelation.
Yes,
he is. So are we in this
so
world.
So are we.
As
in
he
this
is.
World.
Mm-hmm. But it won't manifest unless you get the top part. Here is how you know your love has been made perfect. Mm-hmm. That we may have first a boldness when judgment comes.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what he's talking about. When people come against you and they lying, you ain't supposed to sit back and tell them they're lying. You're supposed to have a boldness about who you are and be able to say, well, thank you for sharing that. Let me go on about my business because I got a God that said, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. I got a God that knows I'm his. I don't have to stand up here and shout and tout and put up road signs to tell somebody I didn't do what you said I did.
Right.
Right.
No, because the minute I defended, I gave Satan some power in it.
That's right. Don't be
why
on
do you
the
think
defense.
Jesus, why do we think Jesus, when he was standing for Pilate said, won't you speak up for yourself? And Jesus looked at him like, brother, don't you know you don't have any power to take judgment on me unless God gave it to you?
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So don't you know that I have all the power Do what you do. And okay. He stood there and looked at him. Aren't you the king of the Jews? That's what you said.
That's what you said. Don't you know I can call down legions of angels? Come here.
Well, now.
Glory.
It's more than me than it is with them.
Did he say that? Don't you know I can call down legions of angels?
Okay.
He said it, didn't he?
Yeah, he
yes,
did.
Well, what's wrong yes, with you? Did. Because in all reality, he said, because as he is, so are we in this world. And so instead of me standing there defending myself, why am I not calling down legions of angels?
Right. You ain't got to.
Glory, glory, glory.
I am.
I'm running around worried about where I'm going to get the next $20 from instead of calling down legions of angels.
Come on.
Who got all the money in the world because the money came from a tree and a God that I serve made every tree on the planet. So in all reality,
the earth is the Lord.
I'm looking at it wrong.
In the fullness thereof. Yeah.
There you go. The silver is mine. Lord. The gold is mine. The cattle on the thousand hills is mine. What?
Yes. Yes.
And they're all yours to claim if you claim them in his holy name.
That's
and
it.
So, I think the programming, let me go back to that. We've been programmed to think a certain way, to see it a certain way. But now watch what I'm going to say to you. Hopefully, prayerfully, this part will be mind-boggling. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Please tell me you are.
Yes.
All right, I got one yes. I'm ready. I got two yeses. I'm ready for it.
Yes, ready for it.
Many of them know the truth. That's why they're where they are, and they left you where you are. Because they know the truth. They're speaking to their destiny. That's how they got all them big buildings like the Sears Tower. That's how they got all of those high-rises up. That's how they got because they know. They've been calling down legions of angels to accomplish things, but we've been running around thinking that we got to get somebody to give us something.
Yeah.
And in all reality, as he is, so are we in this world.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, glory.
That's it. That's all.
Glory.
Ooh.
Ain't that enough?
Yes, it is.
And when you understand that, you stop talking.
Right.
You stop that's letting hard. People dictate to you what's about to happen, and you start dictating what thus saith the Lord is going to happen.
Because
the Lord said. And I ain't got to argue with you to tell you what the Lord said. I need to argue with me to tell me what the Lord said, because while I'm listening to you, I'm forgetting what he said to me, because I'm too busy listening to your mess.
Woo!
That part.
That part. That's.
I don't like you. I'm sitting here listening to that. Well, what did I do? Please. I'm glad you don't like me.
Right.
Because what you really told, listen, hear me out. When somebody said they don't like you, you know what they really said? God just separated me from you.
From you. There you go.
Something is causing me not to be able to be close.
That's
something is keeping me from being a friend of yours. Something is keeping me from trusting you. And 99% of the time, if you walking it right, talking it right, and living it right, it's God keeping them right with you. Keep them out your face. Until they're ready for your anointing, till they're ready for your love, till the God.
Protection is protection. Come on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we're running around going, they didn't like me. Ooh, the people didn't give me that apartment. Don't you know that apartment? You could have got that apartment and it caught fire 2 weeks after you moved in. It was God keeping you out that place.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Got to be transformed by
thank
the renewing
you, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, so that's a too.
Yes.
That's a good one.
And I'm saying we have to deprogram what the enemy has done.
There you go.
Because the program will
you
have you
down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity the obedience of Christ.
Uh-huh.
That part.
Bringing into captivity every thought.
Every thought. Yep.
Which means when people are talking to you, they are transferring their thoughts over to you. And when you talk back, it is because you allow the thought to transfer in. That's why you're defending.
Come on, sir. Yeah.
That's what makes me defend it, because the thought transferred. But how many of us know? He said, if you don't let the thought transfer, he said, I'll bring a judgment on everybody that's disobeyed you.
Right.
Because right after he says every thought being brought into captivity unto the obedience of God, the next scripture says, who has a readiness to avenge all that disobedience once yours is fulfilled. Mine is fulfilled by sitting back and putting my faith and my trust in God and not in the people that I think I can convince to trust me. I've been around people as a man of God. I've been around people for 10 years and they still don't know me.
Right.
Come on. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
They know my actions, but they've yet to know me. You don't know a person until you see them the way God sees them, which is to see the thought and the intent of their heart, because an action could look wrong to you. But if you look inside somebody's heart, you'll know that the motivation is absolutely right, and you ain't mad about nothing. Oh, God.
Yes.
They were motivated by the right thing. The action came out wrong, but the motivation was right. So therefore, I need to get off the action and get into the motivation like God does, and start looking at the intent of their heart. There's people that love you that'll bring you a sandwich and you can't stand mustard. And if you ain't white, you'll be mad because they put mustard on the sandwich and never see the love that was induced in them to bring you the sandwich in the first place.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Come on.
You ever seen somebody sitting up in a restaurant talking about, oh, they put this on my food?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want that who's got onions on it. Ungrateful. Never saw the intention was to feed you. I was just trying to feed you.
Yep.
And you couldn't even say thank you?
No.
You're too busy complaining because it's an onion. And here's the funny part. 90% of what you're complaining about, you could have just took off and ate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't eating that. It's got relish on it. Get the relish off. Anyway, I don't want to tangent, but I'm just saying, you are so powerful.
Ooh.
God has made. Oh my God, you are so powerful when you understand who you are. You
when you know
that program.
That's it.
When you break that ridiculous program that's got you fearful, break that ridiculous program that keeps telling you you can't when you were built by an I can God.
Come on.
Break the program that keeps telling you you ain't worthy. Break the program that says, I don't know how to do that. Go get Google.
Yeah. Alexa.
Call Alexa. Call ChatGPT. All the information and knowledge we need in the world is sitting right on a laptop or on a phone. There is absolutely no reason in the world for a believer in today's world to say, I can't.
Yes,
I don't know how.
Pastor, we can even ask Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, and if we have ourselves in a place to be sensitive, he is the all-knowing teacher that will, I'm telling you, give you some revelation that you, like you say, people will be going to the computer for, but if you ain't thinking to have that access, ask Holy Spirit. That's the important man, Holy
Hallelujah.
Spirit. Say push this button if you on a computer and you becoming, because our language is everything other than saying I don't know how to do this. I sometimes say I'm becoming because I'm a remain teachable. I'm going to remain when I've been in the place. If I could just tell a part of my testimony, computers is, I'm becoming in computers and doing computers, but I'm a writer. So I've written books and I've asked Holy Spirit what to do in certain places when I needed to do a certain thing where I didn't go and ask the people for help who computer I was using. I just asked Holy Spirit and he led me right through it.
Right.
Mm. Because he's intelligent, thank you. So you the Holy Ghost, man. We could go on for days on this because let's go back to Galatians, please, second chapter. Let's read through. So I'll start at the top and just read through, and I want you to listen because there's a lot in here. He talked about how in chapter one, how he was so filled with revelation, he didn't even wait to go to the apostles to go get his ordination. He just went out and started doing the work of God. He says, I did it for 3 years in verse 16, 17. 3 years. I didn't talk to anybody that had flesh and blood on them. I was talking to the Holy Ghost for that whole 3 years, back to what Awanda said. The Holy Ghost was leading me the whole 3 years. And he said, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles until I went to Arabia and returned from Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up and talked to Peter. And I stayed with him for a couple of days. And then in chapter 2, he says, then 14 years later, after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, brother, and took Titus with me also, that brother, and I went up by revelation, because when you're around some real black folk that know God, you go get some revelation anyway, and communicated unto them that gospel, which I preached over at the Gentiles, but I did it privately, and this is a very important principle in the Bible. When you have something that you want to clarify, quantify, quit calling your buddies, your girlfriends, your brothers and sisters. Go to somebody that you know and do it privately with them and sit back and share so you don't embarrass yourself and put yourself in a situation where you knocked yourself back because you put something out there before it was baked well. Pick it up first.
Yes.
He didn't let me either, Titus, and then he says, and that because of false brethren, sorry, verse 3. But neither was Titus who was with me, being a Greek, he was never compelled to go back into that old church thing and get himself circumcised, thinking that it's that law that's going to keep him engaged with God. That's what he's talking about. And that because of false brethren, because there's some false folk out there. I hate to say it, but there's some false folk out there. And because the false brethren, unawares that got brought in to our assembly, who came in privately, just so that they could spy. You ever had that feeling people are watching you in church and they're trying to figure out how to do what you do in church?
Yeah.
Spying out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into their level of bondage. I'm over here free, and now I got some folk around me watching me being free, being happy, having joy, having peace, having love, and I got some folk that want to call and draw me into some gossip. They want to draw me into some damaged goods. They want to draw me into their hurt. They want to sit back and talk about what they've been through, not where they're going. They want to do all that stuff, and he say, be careful.
Yep.
Because that's trying to bring you back into a bondage that you got freed from. You got your joy, keep your joy. Anybody that steals your joy, send them away. Okay. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection. In other words, we put them in their place, not even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat high-minded, whatsoever they thought they were, it didn't make any difference to me because I'm just like God. I don't accept no man's person. I don't care if you got a mansion. The mansion don't mean nothing. The Holy Ghost does. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost and you got a mansion, you just got some stuff, but your stuff got you too. Anyway.
Come on, sir.
But they who seem to be somewhat in conference, I found out they didn't add nothing on to what I already knew about God. Most of y'all so smart in God, you just don't know it because you don't have the boldness to let anyway. But contrarywise, verse 7, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed to me, or the uncircumcision, was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. I was just as powerful with the people who were Jews as Peter was with the Jews. That's what he's saying. But he that brought effectively in Peter, the Holy Ghost, to the apostleship of circumcision, that same Holy Ghost was mighty in me toward the Gentiles.
Come on.
And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be the pillars of the community, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. It's something when you're so powerful in the Lord and so bold and so prepared and so prayed up and so revelation-centered that when you walk into some church that got 40,000 members, the preacher want to see you. He don't want to see them. He want to see you because it's just something.
It's on. It's on.
Verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor. That's all they said. You're doing it right. Just make sure you take care of the poor. Because if you because the greatest religion and the only religion that you'll ever find in the Bible spoken of clearly is in James, the second chapter. And he said, perfect religion is this. Be a person that can bridle your tongue and go take care of the widows and the orphans.
Yep. That's fine.
Bridle tongue and learn to take care of the people that need you.
Yep.
Perfect religion. So, but what was that?
Verse 11 now.
Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. So Peter made a mistake. What mistake? For before that servant came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. In other words, Peter was hanging out with the Gentiles. As soon as the Jews came around, he went back to acting like them. He was showing us this is a plurality of what will happen with religion. You get into some church where everybody's all stiffened up and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. You get someplace and you get free. And then as soon as you see them folks, you want to act like you, you know, St. Paul, St. John, so forth, all stiffened up again. And he's saying, don't ever do that. Yeah, don't be wishy-washy with the spirit.
That brand new. That brand new.
Okay.
Is anybody getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
I hope and pray you are.
Yes.
Right? And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him in so much that Barnabas was also carried away with their division that was amongst them. Barnabas, the black guy, he was like, these folks are all messed up here. Verse 14, I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I say it to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, you acting like them, and then when you get around these Jews, you act like them, and then the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews? Now you're trying to get these folks that's free to go back and act like they're in bondage through religion.
Come on, the devil.
I should probably stop there. It's after 7 o'clock. I'm going to stop there. We'll pick up on verse 15. Is that where we are? Yeah, verse 15 next week. But I just want to encourage all of us, please, be free.
Know that
you belong in his kingdom. You belong there. You belong there. We belong in the kingdom. And as he is, so are we. I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick. I'm supposed to be praying for. Even if I'm sick, I should still be laying hands on the sick.
Come on. That part.
If I don't feel good, I still should be laying hands on folks so that they can feel better. Why? Because I ain't the one healing you. It's God that does it. I'm just a conduit. And if I ever forget that I'm a conduit to be used by God, then I'm going to become a conduit to be used by the enemy.
Okay.
Does that make any sense? Because when God called you to be used, to not let yourself be used is what the Bible calls disobedience. And my Bible says disobedience is unto witchcraft.
That's what it says.
I don't have to know who God is going to heal. I just have to know that he told me to lay hands. I don't need to know. I don't have to feel bad if they don't get healed. I don't have to feel bad if they get healed.
Let's do what he said.
I just need to do what I'm told to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
and he'll do the rest.
Hallelujah. So we'll close out right there. I'm going to open it up for comments. For anybody, whatever you got from tonight, please share. But make sure you walk away with something tonight. Walk away knowing that you Satan has been keeping you from being all you can be. It's been the enemy.
Yeah.
He's keeping you. And I'm not saying we're supposed to be, you know, rock stars and superstars. I'm just saying you're more than where we are at the moment. We can do more. We can love better. We can parent better. Mm-hmm. Oh God. We can be better friends to people. There's more in us. So it's open comments and thoughts.
Oh, can I start? Pastor?
You sure can, my brother. Yeah.
That's the thing I got. Be free to free the Lord. Don't be free in the Lord. Believe it's holy word, the word and everything. And just be free. Don't limitations on nothing. The Bible at all. No limitations at all. It's all true. It's all true. It's all realistic.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. You said to be free in the Lord. That's all true. That's what you said, Duane.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
And you got to be bold. You got to be bold. You have to be bold. It's not, you're not boasting about yourself, because of yourself you can do nothing. But him, you can do all things. So when you talk about God, I mean, Pastor, I was in a conversation on yesterday, and the conversation was somebody, well, they were saying, oh, well, I'm God, and they got more books on the Bible, in the Bible, you know, and you need to read this, and you need to read that. And I was like, you know, when we was talking about defending mm-hmm. God's word, mm-hmm. you don't got to defend it. You be on the offensive side. You don't have to defend the word of God. It defends itself. Either you are in or you're out. Either you're saved or you're still a sinner. You know. I mean, you just can't. You just gotta. You gotta know. You gotta have a know in your know that God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about God. It ain't about you.
No.
You can't do nothing. But when you powerful enough and bold enough to speak the word of God in the midst of confusion, everything gonna line up. They gonna line up and they gonna get gone.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Well
and
said.
I'm gonna line up and they gonna get gone. Till I die, until I leave, I ain't gonna even die. I'm gonna go like Enoch went. I mean, God, that's what my faith is. Enoch walked off, you know. So that's where I'm at in this whole situation. But I just refuse to let people try to browbeat me down or my family down. If you don't, if you're not going to believe it, what do you say? Look here, go into his house, and if he don't receive you, what you do? Come on, shake the dust off your feet. It is what it is, y'all. That's it. You believe that, and I believe this. And when we get before God, I'd rather believe the Bible and to believe the truth than to believe a lie and go to hell. I ain't going to hell. I'm going. I got a mansion in heaven. I got to go and check it out.
You got to go sit on the couch in that mansion.
I got to go sit on the mansion. That's it.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Next person, Sister Deborah.
I enjoyed the Bible study, and I believe everything that the Word of God says. I believe I got the power to do what it says I can do, and I believe that I can pray for somebody and they can be healed.
There you go.
And I know that God hears my prayers, because he's a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. So for as long as I'm willing to be that vessel for him to work through, I'm always willing to do so. And I will not quench the Holy Spirit for any reason. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
I am a black man, a Niger, living right here on earth with him. So
come
I feel
on.
Very powerful with that.
Hallelujah.
Powerful about that. Yes. It empowers me to do what he wants me to do.
That's it.
Yes. I love what you said.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Sister
Jack Devil. Niger. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and I'm going to thank you, Sister Devil. I like that last part, most importantly, that to know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because I can tell you again, I spent a lot of years as a Negro. I spent a lot of years. A Negro believes that he's got to steal his neighbor's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A Negro believes that a woman is somebody to serve him, not somebody to serve. A Negro feels defeated before he ever plays the game. A Negro never sees himself having wealth.
Yes.
Because he's been trained to see this. And I like that because the Holy Ghost had to break the Negro spell off of me. And he did, and I praise God. Sure. I ain't afraid to go in amongst anybody. I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. I don't feel I don't have the greatest vocabulary, but I can express every thought, idea, and emotion I have clearly and concisely to people.
Yes,
and that took the Holy Ghost to do that.
To do that. Yep. Amen. That is so true. Otherwise,
and you,
it could not be done.
Can I give you one more scripture? I'm sorry to do this to you, but I just want you to see this. This was like mind-boggling when I matched all this up. It's in James, and it's going to be in about the second chapter. Book of James.
Okay.
And it made me, I said this to a group of Caucasian brothers in Christ, and they looked at me, and their eyes widened, and they said, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And then they asked me to get on their board. You hear me? And then they asked me to be on their board. They've asked me to get on four boards since then.
Okay.
And every one of them have, and every one of them have a PhD or better.
Wow.
Every one of them. And I don't have any of those. Praise the Lord. But I got a Holy Ghost University degree.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
University.
Ooh, glory.
Where do I want to take it? Second chapter. Yes, ma'am. Let me find exactly what I'm looking for.
14.
Every gift, every good and perfect gift is sent down. That's the one I'm looking for.
Okay,
give me one second. I'm almost there. Oh, hold on. I'm going to take the shortcut. Please bear with me. You found it? Every good and perfect gift, scripture.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
No. Just told
me.
It is James 1:17. I said two, it said one. Too far.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, everything I see.
Mm-hmm. 1:17. Everybody have it?
Yes.
Amen. Please listen to it. Please listen to it in the spirit. He says, verse 16, he says, brethren, don't be in error about this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. It's not meant to cause a problem. neither is there a shadow of a turning. It's not supposed to turn on you. That's what happens when I feel like a Negro. I've taken my color and turned it on me because they turned it on me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Come on.
Got that? No shadow of turning. Anybody got it?
Yes.
And of his own will begat he us with a word of truth that we should be kind of a first fruit of his creatures. Listen to me good. And this is what I said to the people. I said, you know, I found out that God is no respecter of persons. I'm talking to this group. Because they were trying to talk to me, and I could tell they were talking from an eggshell place. They were trying hard not to find a way to insult, and am I black sensitive, and so forth and so on. I said, God, I know God is no respecter of persons. I said, I want to share something with you before we talk. And they said, oh, okay. I said, do you know the Bible says this, that every good gift and every perfect gift is sent down by the Father of lights? I spoke the scripture to them and said, yeah, amen, that's James. I said, yeah. I said, did any of you choose the color you are?
No.
Well, no. Then it's a gift. It was given to you.
Amen.
And if it was given to you and it's a gift, then there is purpose in the gift. So I want you to get this before we get started talking.
Yes. Ooh, Lord.
I do not expect a tree to apologize for being green. I don't expect a flower or a rose to apologize for one being red, the other one's yellow, the other one's green. I don't expect the fish in the sea. One is big, one's small, one has yellow print, the other one has purple polka dots on them. You don't expect them to apologize for what they are. So I don't want you all to apologize for being white, because I do not apologize for being black. Now that we want to talk. Boy, did that take everything on. Oh, brother, hey, you know what I'm thinking? Because they were so scared that I was so black sensitive, because they thought they were talking to a Negro. They thought me weak, sensitive, emotional. All you have to do is say one of those white words like y'all, and I'm giving away, who you talking about? You know, y'all racist? Now, brother, listen to me.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this because as the people of God, when you understand what Niger is, you should ascend above Negro.
Ooh, Lord.
And be so much bigger than all of that racism stuff that you can sit down with the Ku Klux Klan, and by the time you leave, they'll be cracking up and accepting Jesus.
Okay. That part.
They'll be sitting there going, whoa.
Yes.
Who is this person?
Yeah.
Well, as he is.
Hopefully.
As he is, so are you in this world. So don't let him, don't that was a powerful scripture to me when I realized how in the world do they still have us apologizing for a gift we received?
Right.
As though somewhere it was a bad gift. Unapologetically black and loving every part of what God has done.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. So closing thoughts as we were going through closing thoughts. Thank you for sharing that. It's 7:22. Are there any other closing thoughts before we pray out tonight?
I do just want to say that it was just so profound, and I just want to leave us all with, if we just go back, you know, a little bit deeper into, you know, this false narrative of, you know, Yahshua being white was because we didn't read way back in the days, and so they continued it with, you know, not allowing us to learn how to read, not giving us books, so we believe what we heard, you know, so to learn of believing what we heard, and just always studying to show ourselves approved, you know, always taking it back to y'all when anybody says something. Because even with the JRC kids, when we doing Bible study, I said, I let them know, don't trust me. Pick up your word and follow as I'm, because I'm man and I can error and make a mistake. And it can be you, because you paying attention to bring correction. Because if we get one word can take something way out of context. We even know that's how Satan deceived even the God and said, oh, you won't shoot me, guy. You know, so we have to really pay attention and be in tune, and not just like being
we got to take up space on purpose, and we meant to be in every room, like he said. It could be a room full of white people, and you can be the only black there, but you right there where you supposed to be, because it ain't about color. Because our father don't see no color. He don't, you know. Less of ourselves. That's why everything has really been reversed. You know, that's why they started the narrative. But it takes Holy Spirit for us to seek the truth, because if we seek, he said, we gonna find. So stay in the place of seeking. Stay in the place of seeking, because we'll find the truth.
Hallelujah.
And the truth will set us free, because that's what we ended up being as too. And as Brother DeJuan said, it's freedom in the word. It's freedom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. That was powerful.
Thank you.
Powerful.
Glory to God.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If we notice, even to add on to what Sister Hawanda was taking us, and what the Spirit was taking us through Sister Hawanda. If you pay attention to what you see on the news, they're trying to unravel all of the progress that's been made. Even right now. That's the reason they're going after the Hispanic culture, because they want you to feel like the third wheel. They're doing that on purpose to keep that mindset there, because no kingdom, let me reframe that, because you're saying the kingdom, no democracy can uphold itself without a colony.
You know,
no democracy can uphold itself without a colony. It has to have servants in it. And what we're hoping is to keep everybody a servant and keep you with a servant's mentality. Be afraid of the police. Be afraid of this. Be afraid of that. Because you ain't us. No democracy can uphold itself without a colony. It has to have servants in it. And so it continuously finds those people that it can run roughshod over, those people that they can bully, those people that are afraid, that, oh, they'll put me in jail, they'll do this. Do you know all the police in our neighborhood? We talk about kids being killed by police officers. Do you know we can get the police officers out of our neighborhood simply by not hurting each other?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
If there's no crime, why would the police be here?
Right.
Amen.
Well, does that make sense?
Yes.
And we're learning that program that they put on us that makes us stay Negroes and think we got to take from each other, rob each other, instead of support each other, help each other, collaborate with each other, be there for each other. Back in the 50s, our parents didn't play this mess.
Nope. Amen.
They shared sugar, bread. They were broke.
Yes.
They weren't poor.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Our kids got money now, and they're as poor as can be.
Right.
Amen. That is so true.
Yeah, they're greedy.
Yes.
They're jealous of each other.
Yes.
Kill each other over some gym shoes. And you got some gym shoes, but you go kill somebody else because of theirs and take theirs. Mm-hmm. Because they've created this mentality that is going to take the Holy Spirit and the people of God to break it, to show that we can live together, we can work together, we can plan together, and we can build together. And when they start seeing that, that's when our kids will turn around and become children again.
Right.
When they see their parents working together like we're supposed to.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to bring out the scripture here in James that says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And if we ever pick that up and live by that, we will be very aware of what we're not doing and what we need to do. Because we're quick to say, I am the righteousness of God. Well, are you? Because you right now, you're working up wrath. And that should not be. It should not be. So therefore, we got to check ourselves and examine ourselves to make sure that we are what we say we are.
Yeah.
And that we're living it also. It's a got to do. That's all
Sister
I'm saying. I just wanted to add that. I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am, and that's powerful. New Covenant Church of Christ is a new kind of church, everybody. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's the New Testament church. We're there to love on each other, not judge each other, not sit back and say who's better than who, who's a super anointed, and so none of that mess. We're there to serve each other and make a family that they ain't never seen before.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Do the impossible, because with God all things are possible.
Are possible. Amen.
We're there to do the impossible, and we'll do it. If we just keep going and don't give up hope, we'll keep going, and something is going to change, and Madison will change, and our children will change, but it's got to start with us.
Yes, sir.
So, Sister Donna, would you close us in prayer, please?
Yes. Say that again, Pastor.
I'm sorry.
Say that again.
Mm-hmm. Would you close us in prayer, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you right now, Lord, asking you to forgive us, first of all, for all of our sins, iniquities, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as we can come boldly to your throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find help in a time of need. We need you even more this day, God. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning, clothed in our right mind with all the activities of our limbs, God. We thank you for our last night's laying down and having sweet sleep. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our siblings, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, God. God, we just bless you. We thank you for Jesus most of all. Yes, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. God, we just give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise for who you are. For you are great and greatly to be praised. You are I am that I am. All that we need you to be, Father. We thank you for being a doctor and in a hospital, in a bedroom, God, in a home, God. We thank you for everything, God. Without you, we're nothing. And apart from you, we can do nothing. But through you, God, we can do all things, because you give us the power to do it, Father. Father, bless this man of God that's on the line, and all those that are on this line. Bless his wife, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. Father, we just thank you for a man of God that tells the truth. And you said, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free, Father. So we thank you, Lord, that we have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying through the man. We bless you today, Father. We honor you. We glorify your name. We thank you for taking us to and fro through the streets of Janesville and Madison, God. We bind all incidents and accidents and road rage in the streets, God. We bind homosexuality. We bind lesbianism, God. We bind diabetes, God, in the name of Jesus. These are all things, God, that you said, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, Father, we thank you, God, for the word of God, the power of God, the anointed of God. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that leads and guides us into all truth. We bless you right now, God. And as we leave the phone, don't dismiss us from your presence, God. Give your hand charge over us and keep us in all of our ways. And we forever give your name the praise, the honor, and all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
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 Get to meet you guys one day. My sister bring me to your church.
Amen. Please come in so we can get a chance to hug you and be blessed by your presence.
Get a chance to meet, greet, love one another, you know.
Yes, ma'am. I love everybody. And we will see some of you on Saturday. Some of you all will be at Pastor Jackson's funeral. I'm aware of that. I'll probably see some of you there. I'll be there. But for sure, we'll see you on Sunday. We love you with the love of Christ, Sister Deborah. Thank you for the evangelism work you're doing. That soul is added to your account in heaven. Yes, thank you for what you're doing. It's changing somebody's life. Thank you for being the woman of God. You are Sister Hawaii. I love you. Thank you for being an amazing daughter in Christ. I am so proud. And Brother Devon, man, thank you, because I know you're sitting in a wheelchair where people think you're in bondage, and you're speaking life to people.
Come on,
around you, and they don't even know how powerful you are.
Yes. Oh, glory.
Thank you for being who you are, sir. Hallelujah. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Good night, everyone. Good night, everybody. Good night, Deborah.
Good night, Brother DeWire.
All right. Good night.